Good morning. That was a musical workout, wasn't it? That was by request. Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, and let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord, there in verse 5, came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come and let us go down and confound or confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad. Verse 8. The Lord came and scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. It is interesting that the original pronunciation of Babel was Bab-al, which means gateway to God or gateway to heaven. But after these people disobeyed God and wanted to make a name for themselves, the pronunciation was changed to Babel, which means confusion. Communication is always important. Communication is key. Mel Tillis, a country and western singer and a comedian, said that when he was a little boy, around 8 or 9 years old, he began to stutter when a sister at church slapped him. But he made a living because of his stuttering. And he said that when he was a young man, he chose a profession as a door-to-door Bible salesman. And he said that he was the top salesman for that company. That he would knock on the door, and the woman of the house would come to the door, and he'd say, My name is Mel Tillis, and I'm here to sell you a Bible. Would you like me to read it to you, or would you want to buy one? And that's how he became a successful Bible salesman for that company, as nobody wanted to stand there and listen to that foolishness. Communication is very important, especially if you're going to be a public speaker. You see, in Genesis, after the Noah account, God said to Noah and his children, go and multiply the earth. The idea was that the children of Noah were to scatter and go through the whole world multiplying and having children and populating the earth. But there seems to have been some pride in this entire account. Come and let us make a name for ourselves. They spoke among themselves, let us build a city and let us build this tower that will go to heaven. They disobeyed God. And I know that they were selfish because in this whole account, in this whole historical account, there was this fellow by the name of Nimrod. And from Nimrod, we get this colloquial American saying of ramrodding. And Nimrod means rebellious. And when someone wants to ramrod their agenda, they don't care about the consequences. They don't care about anyone else's feelings. They just want to get their thing done their way, no matter what happens. And the people of Babel, they wanted things done because of pride. It was their prideful attitude that they decided that they wanted to build a city. Notice, they wanted to build a city, and then build this tower like a ziggurat, like a pyramid-style ziggurat that would reach into heaven. And at the top of that ziggurat, according to what has been found by archaeologists, other structures similar to it, the dome of it would have astrological horoscope signs because they would worship not God, but worship the stars, astrology. Because they would feel like they wouldn't need God anymore. It was pride. It was arrogance. God said, go and multiply and populate the earth. And they would say, we will not do it. We won't go because we'll do it our way. Our way is better. Because of pride, the people began to build a city with this large tower. God wasn't pleased with them. But I would like to take this negative story of God coming down and confusing their language as they're building at this construction site. And one says, hand me a brick, and God confuses that language. And maybe that hand me a brick meant something else. Maybe it offended that guy's mother and got beat in the face with the brick, that they had to separate because they couldn't understand each other. But all that negative story wasn't all negative, because there are some positive things that we as a church should learn and apply to us. You see, the first thing that I'd like for us to consider from this story is that these people were willing to work. Not only are we going to draw that lesson, but there's three simple lessons that I want to share with you. They were willing to work. They were united, and they were able to communicate at first. Look back at Genesis chapter 11 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 3. And they said to one another, go and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord said, there in verse 6, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. But verses 3 and 4. They were willing to work. They had a mind to work. Now, I don't know how many people, what the population was at this point. But they were united. They were talking to each other. They had a mind. Notice again, verse 3, they said to one another, "Go and let us make brick. Let us make mortar. Let us use this tar, this slime for stone and mortar. And let us build a city." Not only did they build the tower, which sometimes that's what we concentrate on, but they build an entire city. City with houses and additional buildings. And when they were done with that, right in the center of that city, one would imagine, they built this huge tower. And their lofty idea was to reach into heaven. You imagine what Hueytown could accomplish, what this church could accomplish, if we had all the same mind to build. Our young brother Benjamin exhorted us Wednesday, challenged us, threw the gauntlet down, calling us to evangelize. And imagine if all of us had that same mind to work to evangelize our community, our own families. What could we accomplish if we had the same mind to work? Nothing could stop them. They built the city. They built that tower. You know, nothing could stop them. And this is why the Lord says in verse 6, "Behold, the people is one. And they all have this one language. And this they began to do, and now even God recognizes. God said, and nothing will restrain them, or nothing will be restrained from them. Nothing's going to stop them, which they have imagined or planned to do. There will be no enemy that can stop them. There'll be nothing." And you know, this passage even implies that not even the devil's going to be able to stop them from building this tower that will reach into heaven. The only one that will be able to stop them, which we'll read here shortly, will be the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we were truly united, my brethren, nothing could stop us. You just think about that. And that's why in verse 6, we emphasize again and again the need of us, or for us, to be truly and completely united. Well, let me go back to the previous point. You know, sometimes we think that every little bit helps when it comes to this idea of building and being united and doing things for the Lord at church. But we sometimes adopt this idea that everybody or every little bit helps, like when we give of our means, as our brother Horn was explaining a while ago before we took up the collection. To give as we have prospered. I asked him a few days ago, what was the most popular, still to this day, the most popular bill when we in our collection plate? And he said, it's the dollar bill. Even with the jobs that we have and as prosperous as we are, still the most popular bill in our collection plate is still the dollar bill. Because a lot of us have still had the mindset that every little bit helps. This is like if you were drowning out at sea and someone on the ship has that mentality that every little bit helps and pulls off a thread off his jacket and says, "Oh, here you go, a little bit, every little bit helps," instead of throwing you a rope. If we can do a lot, we should do a lot. sometimes the attitude of every little bit of help is just a salve that soothes our conscience. Some of us still give as if we were 5 years old when mom and daddy gave us a nickel or a quarter or a dollar bill. And when it comes to projects like cleaning projects or building projects, many of us can do more, but we do just a little. You see, the people that built the cities and the tower during Babel's time, they didn't have the mentality of every little bit helps. They all joined in and worked hard because they were united. Not only did they have this idea, or not only were they willing to work, but they were united. Verse 6 again, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, Jesus in his high priestly prayer said, now neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus was praying for unity on behalf of his apostles and all those that would come to believe in Christ. And what's the worst, or what is the greatest enemy that the devil has to attack the church? That's division. Division. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we can see division in the church beginning to take hold when we start gossiping, or when we don't respect each other's opinions. You see, it's okay to have differing opinions. I'm not talking about doctrinal matters, but differing opinions is okay. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about there in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him who eateth, which eateth not, judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So, we need to forfeit our ease and grudges and opinions and our preferences in order to achieve and maintain unity. We need to be united. And finally, these folks were able to communicate. Again, look at verse 6. And the Lord said, they all have one language. They were speaking the same idea. They weren't talking past each other. They weren't speaking and the other person was waiting for that person to shut up so that they could shoot back a response. They were listening to each other. And that's one of the biggest problems that employers have with their employees, that they give out directions, they give out explanations, and their employees aren't even paying attention. We need to have better communication skills. Elders must communicate to the church what's going on. And that's one of the biggest complaints that many Christians have, that their elders don't communicate with them. That things happen, things take place, there's discipline problems, or there's restorations, or there's building things, or whatever, and the elders just don't communicate with the flock. Well, Peter says, to the elders which are among you, I exhort, who I am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And that feeding of the flock is taking care of the flock, communicating with them, letting them know why things are being done, in which direction they're being led, and why, and what the plans are. But you see, it's easy to always nitpick at the leadership, isn't it? It's easy to always throw stones at those who are at the top. But the Scripture also teaches that we should love and respect them. But not only should the elders communicate to the church, but the church should also communicate with the elders. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, neither as being lords over... Well, let me see. I guess I skipped a passage. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And by this, they're in John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, not only should the church communicate with the elders, but the Christians should communicate with other Christians. The point that I'm trying to make here and emphasize here is that everyone in the body of Christ should love each other enough to communicate with each other, not talk down to each other, not condescend each other, but love each other where we communicate properly, respectfully, with the idea of exhorting and building each other up. So imagine, when we go back to Genesis chapter 11, the problem that these people that were building the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, verse 5, when the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, in verse 7, the same ones that were at creation and saw a problem with Adam and Eve staying in Eden are the ones that said, come and let us go down and confuse their language. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were the only ones that could stop the building of the Tower of Babel. And the only ones that can stop us from accomplishing the good work of preaching the gospel and making the church grow is God or ourselves. We must learn to love the Lord enough. We must learn to love each other enough. We must learn to appreciate the sacrifice that God has made. And dedicate ourselves to the work that God has given us. And we can accomplish so much. So I echo the challenge that our brother Benjamin made a few days ago. Let us be a working church of saving souls. We already know that we're not going to direct our efforts in organizing a light show and a band show and selling hamburgers and hot dogs to bring people in. Because we know that the last time when Jesus was alive, that he found a church selling stuff in the church building, that he got so angry that he took some strings of leather and took his time to make a whip. He thought about it. He seethed over it. And he kicked some tables over and started whipping some people. And he said, "You made my father's house a den of thieves." So we're not going to spend time, money, dedicate our efforts to a light show, a band show, and a carnival to bring people to church. We need to dedicate our time, spend our efforts in doing what Jesus told us to do. Go into all the world and make disciples of people. How? By teaching them that Jesus is the Christ. Then as he said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who believes not shall be damned." Young men and young ladies, when you're out there sharing the gospel with anyone, any message that does not lead them to the cross of Christ is a useless message. Just as I have done just now, I'm leading you to the cross of Christ. If you're not a Christian, Jesus says, if you believe that He is the Christ, and you are baptized, you shall receive the forgiveness of your sins. But if you believe not, you shall be damned. If there's anyone among us this morning that has not obeyed the gospel by confessing their faith in Jesus and making up their minds to live a different lifestyle, one that is dedicated to Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, please do so today. This is the day of salvation. And communicate and be united in building your life around Christ. And join yourself to a group of Christians that is dedicated in preaching the gospel and that alone. Make your decision known to us. We can help you in becoming a Christian.